Well, good morning again, and we're glad that you're here. Thanks. Today we're going to look at the topic on temptations. So last week we finished trials. This week we're looking at temptations. So what are temptations? If you watched the hospitalities table this morning, that's where temptations was happening. Okay, so all the kids were coming upstairs and going, "Mommy, Mommy, donuts, donuts." Those are temptations. And it's all kinds of temptations. There's donuts with jelly and donuts with just icing on, and then there's plain donuts, all kinds of stuff. So what are temptations? They're the things in life that slow us down and often derail us. So I'm gonna start with an illustration. Every fall, early fall, Penny and I have a ritual that we've done for years. That's we go to the Indiana State Fair. Anybody been to the Indiana State Fair? There's a few of you hardy souls, okay? I would figure that somebody from Alaska would probably not go to the Indiana State Fair. But you don't know what you're missing. It's really an awesome state fair. And so we start out on the north side. We work our way down, you know, south. So we have to go see all the 4-H projects and we get all that done. And we have to go see the Pioneer Village and figure out where our roots are at, you know, and all that stuff. We do that. And then we go through several other buildings as we work down toward. And, oh, you have to go through the cattle barn, too, because Penny's got to get, you know, reconnected with her life about the situation. So we go through the cattle barns, making sure we're watching where we step. And then eventually we end up at this place right here, which is the Grand Hall. And it's known as also the Commercial Building. This is probably one of the greatest little examples for what temptations are like. Because if you've never been to the Commercial Building, so here's the description. You walk in the front door, and you're immediately confronted with about 3 or 4 or 5 rows of just simply vendors, okay? And so you turn the corner, that's what we do, we turn right. So we work, we got this down to an art and science, how we work this building. At least I do. That's called, I'll be out of here in 10 minutes. For Penny, nope, it'll be out of here in another hour or so, because she's got to look at everything that's in on those rows. So here we are, we turn right, we go down there, and you know, we run into the Indiana State Police and we get our map. But then you turn left and you start down the first aisle, and then suddenly all these voices hit you. Hey, come over here and look at this new mattress we got for you. Hey, come over here and get some candy. Hey, come over here and get this latest t-shirt. Hey, come over and get this cap. Hey, and it's just constantly barraged down the aisle and up the aisle, down the aisle until you get out of the building. And of course, if I'm lucky, I get out of there with one ruler stick, you know, a yardstick, and one map of the Indiana State Highways. That's what my goal is. That's all I'm going to do. Whereas she's got to hit everything under the sun. That is just what life is like. We're walking down the path of life, and then there's all these voices that say, "Hey, I want your attention." And so whether it's donuts on the hospitality table back there, but it can be a lot of things, and we'll talk about what those lot of things are in just a minute. But let me read the main idea for the day. It is the idea that there are many voices that cry for our attention. They call for our attention. They tend to divert our attention away from our good and loving God. Abiding in a close walk with Jesus keeps us from death. And we'll talk about what that word death means here. So, you know, what are these kinds of voices? How do I deal with them? That's my question. And here's a voice that I deal with. So this is going to bring home. The voice that I deal with is called retirement. And you're going, wow, is that something you all want to get toward? How many of you want to get to retirement? All right. I got some honest ones up front here, and I have some honest ones in the back row. Austin's a little closer to it than you are, Oliver, but you know, he's getting there. Well, how is it a temptation? It's a temptation like this. All of my friends around me that have retired, their whole goal in life was to get there so that they could travel, so that they could do leisure, so that they could just spend the time doing what they wanted to do and not what somebody else wanted them to do. How that voice affects me is really amazing. Because you start to see what they're doing and you're going, well, you know, I think I've earned it. At 50 years of work, I should have that by now. And I got a cousin that their goal was to get retired, and they go south every year to Arizona and play golf the whole winter. And I'm like, okay. Then I have a real close relative who I'm not going to give you that one. But this is what this was all about, and this is why it pulls on me so badly. And that is, the goal of this relative was to retire, simply to get out of the workplace and to sit at home and sip coffee all day long. And that was the goal. That is in my genes a lot. So that tells you how close the relative is. And I feel that pull almost every week. Like, you know, why am I out here slaving and doing all these things that are on my calendar when I could be just home, relaxing, feet up, enjoying myself, or maybe taking a trip here and there? And so that voice comes clear every once in a while. Fred, why don't you use your retirement? And it comes through other friends of mine who talk to me. It comes into a voice that, you know, I hear in my head, like, why don't you just slow down? Why don't you just do this, and you can fill it up? You know, what we're about to share here this morning, and this comes from Tom and I both. We've talked these things over. We usually do that once a week about what we're going to teach. But what we're going to share with you this morning is something that I wish I would have known about temptation when I was sitting where you're sitting. And that's about 40 some odd years ago. I wish I would have known these things. Today we're going to look at some really good stuff that I think is going to give you a lot of help in life. So as we read James chapter 1, 13 to 18, I'd like you just to follow along as I read it. James says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for the practicality of your word. It addresses all of the kinds of problems that we as human, frail, sinning people face every day. There are temptations in our lives. Thank you, God, that you've given insights into how to beat, conquer, and have victory over temptation. Lord, I wish I would have known these things when I was an undergrad. Don't want to ask them. But Lord, you've been good over the years to share these things with me. And Lord, we're going to go for some insight here this morning, talk about that, how to effectively deal with temptations. Lord, and help us to see your goodness and your power that gives us the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read these verses, there's at least 4 points that I think we're going to consider this morning that will help you think this through. Number one is temptation but knows no boundaries. It's James chapter 1, verse 13. And then verses 14 to 15, we are warned that temptation has consequences. I think you'll be fascinated by James's way of illustrating that. Then, the hope that we have, temptation can be conquered, verses 16 and 17. And then we're going to see how abiding and temptation are related to one another. So we need, as the beginning this morning, the first beginning point here, we need to discard our preconceived notions about temptations And we have them. We certainly have them. So let's jump in. Temptation has no boundaries. Verse 13, James says this. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. There are at least several preconceived notions that I chose out of this, that I see in this verse, to pick out. Number one, first, this verse says when. It doesn't say if. It says when temptation comes. Everyone in this room is either facing a temptation right now, or you will face a temptation, or you faced one this week. So I'm not going to ask for any show of hands on that, but it is a truth. We are going to face a temptation, not a case of if, it's a case of when. And like I told you, at least once a week, I deal with one. Tom and I are, just because we're pastors doesn't mean that we are exempt from temptation. Everyone has temptations. All of us. No one's exempt. Now, the second preconceived notion, which I think often strikes us, is we think of temptation, and immediately, what comes to our mind? Immorality, sex, okay, and those kinds of things. I mean, you know, I understand that. But temptation has many faces, many faces. Stealing is a temptation. Walk down the hall and see that somebody left their dorm room open. And you look in there and you go, wow, okay, that looks pretty cool. We used to have a problem over in the vet college when I worked there. Surgeons would go to the locker room and just hang their pants and their shirts on the door and leave it open and head to surgery and come back and find that somebody had lifted their money, their wallet. So that's just temptation all the time. Lying. Okay. I think cheating and lying, they go together in this time of the year. This is tax time. Okay, so now I know who in the audience is paying taxes. The rest of you are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. Believe me. I went over to Scotland. I have friends that live in Dalkeith, which is outside of Edinburgh. And I was having a chat with Jimmy one day, and we were talking. We got around to the topic of taxes because, you know, it was tax time. It was April when I was over there. And we were just laughing about it. He goes, yeah, us Scots, we spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure out how to cheat the government out of money. Of course, Scots are known to be tight, you know. Tight as a drum. And I could tell you some sad stories about that, but I won't. Okay. Stealing, lying, gossiping. We're tempted to gossip. We hear some juicy stuff and we're tempted to, you know, pass it along. Cheating, envying, that's another temptation. We have a tendency to envy others. Wow, that's a hard one. That's not easy. Popularity? Oh, yeah. We all deal with that one. Have we not at one point in time? If you've been in a high school class, you know, you wanted to be the popular one. This is what's funny to me, okay? I was never the popular one when I went through high school. I don't know what the deal was, you know, whether I was just a farm kid out of the city kids, and, you know, and I was just not part of the crowd. But it's funny, you know, now we go 50 years later, okay, it is true, we're going to have our 50th reunion this summer. So 50 years later, I find myself on the inside crowd. I can't figure that one out. I have no idea how that happened. And it wasn't something I sought either. Definitely wasn't after that. Then there's power, and we all know how that can be such a temptation. We've seen some of those struggles, I think, in our nation's capital. So temptations come with many faces. It's something that you probably deal with every day as much as I do. Temptation likes to avoid personal responsibility. So when I look at this verse, I'm being tempted by God. He's the one's causing this. And, you know, it's just a symptom. It's a symptom like this. We blame shift. Blame shifting happened in Genesis chapter 3. Just as soon as Adam and Eve fell, Adam was blaming Eve, and Eve was blaming the same certain, and everybody was just blaming everybody else, and God said, stop it. You need to take personal responsibility for what you're thinking and your actions. And we have the same thing. We blame shift. We shove it someplace else. So there's no boundaries. Everyone has to face a temptation or two. And there's many faces, and we do have a tendency to avoid personal responsibility. James deals with this real clearly to begin with. God is holy. God is righteous. God is not tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anybody. Now, God might allow a trial or two in your life, but it's interesting. Temptations are different than trials. Because same word, same Greek word is parazo, but the testing of trials is meant to be for yours and my good. Whereas temptations have a tendency to pull us away from God. They're not good. So that's the difference there. God is holy. We are not. And so the next one, temptation has consequences. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So the first point here is that temptation has its origin inside us. It does not have its origin in God. It has its origins in us. You and I have these desires. Satan knows that and starts to play on that string really well. He knows your weaknesses just as, in fact, he knows your weaknesses better than sometimes you do. And so he hits at those inside desires. But we must understand that it originates in ourselves. And it follows a consistent pattern. Here's what kind of happens. You and I have a desire, whatever that desire might be. You know, like in my case, maybe it was retirement. I did want to retire. But there was a reason why I wanted to retire, and it wasn't to have leisure, it wasn't to have travel, it wasn't to have all this fun time with Penny. Most of the time, guys, it's funny, you know, guys retire, and the wife puts up for about 2 months and said, then get out, go get a job. And you're kind of chuckling a little bit, but it's the truth, okay? I had a good friend of mine in physical facilities retired. He was ready to go, and he was gone for about 5 months, and then suddenly Randy ended up back in the UR, working at what he had done before. The wife said, get out. So that does happen. But there's this desire, and then this temptation comes along. There was a temptation that came along. And I could retire at 62. I decided, nope, that was not what God's call for me was. But that still was tugging on my heart. So I thought, okay, the timing's not right. Here's what happens is the next part of it, though. The appeal is there from the temptation, but then we start to look at the bait. Okay, and I'm gonna give you a real clear picture of how this works in just a second here, too. And then we engage the bait, and we're hooked. I was saying this morning, the first look's free, the second look, you're hooked. Write that in your notes. The first look is free. You and I can't stop the looks. You can drive down the highway and we can see a billboard and boom, you got to look at it. And then, but it's the second look that doesn't, that's really where you're after. One of my pastors in Colorado calls it bouncing eyes. You see it, you bounce your eyes away from it. So that's the pattern. Now it's interesting what he does here. James uses two terms from the sportsman world to help you understand what's going to happen. Entice and draw away. Okay? Draw away is a hunting term. So it means to really literally get drawn into a trap. Drawn into a trap, and it's a trap that catches you. It's a live trap, and boom, you're done. You can't go anywhere. You're hooked. But the second one is enticed, is taken from the fishing world. And I'll show you a story about that. And I can't show you any pictures other than this one right here, which says Jack of Diamonds. Okay? You know what a Jack of Diamonds is? Probably not. So Penny and I were stationed at Fort Lewis, and she had a cousin up in the Bellingham area, and he liked to fish in the Kamloops, which was 10 hours up into Canada. So Daryl took us up there one time. And I said, well, so what are we going to use for fishing? He goes, we're going to use a Jack of Diamonds lure. The Jack of Diamonds, you know, I can't get a good picture. I tried to get a good picture when it's strung out, but if it's strung out, there's like 6 or 7 shiny pieces to it, metal pieces, and at the end is the hook. When you put that in the water, and we're trolling, so here's Penny, you know, she's got the motor and she's trolling along, you know, about 5 mile an hour, you know, and I've got my fishing line out there, and those little things, you can just see them spinning. That's what we're talking about, entice. The fish sees the silver and goes for that and doesn't realize until it's too late, I've been hooked. And that happened to 34 rainbow trout for a weekend's worth of work. It was pretty good. Yeah. I didn't catch them all, Tom. This is exactly what James is talking about. Enticement. You have no idea what's going to happen on the other end, but you're really locked on to the bait. You see the bait, you strike. So temptation has consequences, and here's what happens. The fish is hungry, attracted to the free meal. So are we. We're hungry. We're attracted to the free meal, the desires. Satan knows this and brings his bargain bait. That's what I call it, bargain bait. Satan always brings along what's second best versus what's first best. That's what we got to recognize. So before you know it, death takes over. Now, this is an interesting word, death. I want to deal with this for a minute. This is not physical death, because obviously if physical death was involved, you and I would not be here this morning. We'd be dead. Right? We've all had a temptation, so we'd be dead. So it's not that. And it's not eternal death. It has nothing to do with that either. The Greek word makes it real clear. What this is all about is a Jewish mindset. Remember, James is Jewish, talking to a Jewish community. And here's what he's saying. Is you know what death means. It's usually a trajectory. It's an idea of, you know, not the destination, but it's the pathway that you're leading. So the consequence of playing around with temptation is that the trajectory is away from God, not close to God, not working back to God. And so when we mess around with temptation, it draws our hearts, because you see the bait and you think that really looks good, and then you recognize, wow, but it's towards too late, you've been hooked. So for the Jewish life, when they read this, they knew exactly what he was talking about. It was a poor quality of life, not a good quality of life. We want to walk in Jesus, not away from him. So the idea here is, death means a lack of spiritual vitality. But, here it comes, but victory over temptation is possible. Victory over temptation is possible. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Verses 16 and 17. So what's the answer to temptation? It's God. He doesn't tempt you, but he provides the way out of the temptation when he knows it's going to happen to you. He's there, even though you might feel like he's not. God is holy. Jesus was holy, and he was tempted without sin. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that. So there's four things about this, that little verse that just brings it out. God is good. We don't blame God for the temptations, but we turn to the God who's good, who has your best interests at heart. God is for you, not against you. He's for you, he's not against you. God is good, and God gives good gifts. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. But just think about that. God gives you good gifts, and he gives them to you continuously. The Greek verb in here is just awesome. It's just continually coming down. God is always giving you gifts all the time. I don't know if you ever sit back and reflect on the goodness of God and what he does at the end of the day. But try that sometime. Just do that. Or the next morning when you're getting ready for your quiet time, just write at the bottom of your notes, grateful. And I try to do that. What am I grateful for today? And you know what? It's not awesome, big stuff. Sometimes it's just, you know, I'm grateful that I had a great time with Tom. I had a great time with Penny. I had, you know, I watched a movie or whatever. You know, it's just little things of life that I'm thankful to God. I'm grateful to God. He's a continuous giver. And then it says that he is the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. This is a very interesting term. It's Jewish. It means creator. It means creator. Let me read you a verse. I shared this the other night at Thursday night Bible study. I think it's an awesome verse. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6 says this, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What a mouthful that verse says. It's an amazing thing. You and I live in a very dark world. No doubt about it. We live in a very dark world. And there's only one answer to that dark world, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the light. He's the light. He gives us light. And when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, that light comes to dwell in you. I don't understand the mystery of that, folks. I can't explain all of that. But I know it's true. I know it's true. And that word, then, that dwells within us, because that's what he's called in John chapter 1. He's the Word. That Word, then, in us is what we use, then, to dispel darkness and to fight the temptations off. Let me give you a couple examples, okay? So some of us get together in what we call an LTG, Life Transformation Group, and each week we ask questions of each other. And question number 3 says this. I'll get it out. And I'm going to use the men's side, okay, not the girls' side. Yep, sorry, girls, it's the same question. Not off the hook. Have you lacked integrity in your financial dealings or coveted something that doesn't belong to you? Wow, that's a temptation. It's a temptation that, you know, I dealt with weekly for all the time I was trying to take care of my mother-in-law's affairs. Because there was a fair chunk of money that was involved with all this, selling houses and taking care of bank accounts and all of that. And it would be very easy for me to have siphoned off money. And that happens in a lot of families without anybody knowing that. But you know what I had, in my heart was this, I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to face God someday, and he's going to ask me about this. And I'm going to face my mother-in-law someday, and she's going to ask me about this. And I'm going to be able to say, you know, on a stack of Bibles, I watched over every penny that you had. And I took good care of it. So that temptation was there, but I didn't take it. So what's my secret at the state fair? You're probably wondering, how does he get out of there with just a couple things when his wife is in there for a couple hours? So here's how I do it. I walk down the path of life, down the aisle, and I don't lock eyes with any vendor. If I know if I lock eyes with a vendor, I'm history. Oh, come here, come here, come here. There's only been a couple times that that's happened. Once when The Jew would have said, hey, come over here and I'll claim your ring free. So then, you know, then it was, oh, I got this great stuff that you can buy, dot, 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 dot. It was just like, okay, I'm a fool. I fell for that one. Shouldn't have. But most of the time, I just walk down the aisle, and I don't look left or right. I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to keep going. Don't lock eyes, and keep running rolling. That is the way that we master temptation. Go through life, and don't listen to those voices that are calling out to you to give in. So, abiding. Let's talk about that. God enables me to conquer temptation. He's the light to dispel deception. Temptation is change. Because Satan plays on your string every week, once a month, or whatever. So it's different things. But God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He is the light that I need. Verse 18 says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Isn't that neat? In his goodness, he's the Father of lights. My God wants a relationship with you. He created the heavens and the earth, and he created mankind in the image of God in order that he would have a relationship with you. That is really critical to understand. The God who created light and saw that it was very good is also the God who made you a new creature if you've been a follower of Jesus Christ. That light is shown in you and is shown through you to others. It's the light of the world in us. Isn't that amazing? 2 Corinthians tells us that we are a new creature, a new creation. Everything's become new. So in that relationship where Jesus Christ comes to dwell in you, you begin to live the faith of the Son of God who loved you. He gave himself for you. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago so that you might have a personal relationship with him. So when I think about this, we bear fruit for him. That's John 15 and 16. I've been really meditating on this for about a week. We're chosen and appointed to bear his fruit. Isn't that neat? Not the fruit of temptation and all that garbage. He wants us to bear really good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are really good qualities. Wherever you are, in your neighborhood, okay, in your lab, in your cubicle, in your department, those are great qualities. Wow. I mean, anybody should like those. So that good fruit, though, comes by abiding in him. Not abiding in the temptation, but abiding in him. And I love this. You know, how does it all work? Well, Psalm 37, verse 4 kind of gives us this picture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think that has smack to do with temptations. Because as you delight yourself in him, as you abide in him, as you get closer to him, he changes your desires to be like his desires. And temptations don't have a pull on your heart. Sure, I go through that whole thing with retirement from time to time. And I'm trying to remember if I've even shared that with you, Tom, about my struggle with retirement from time to time. But now he knows. It's out in the public. Okay. He's going to ask me about it from time to time now. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, those desires will become Jesus' desires. You'll be like him in every way, shape, and form. So the abiding is what keeps you away from the temptations. Because it's the Word that's all about. It's the Word. Because how do I fight it? Well, I think about the promises of God. I just pulled my book out this week. I have a whole book full of promises of God. And so when I come across a promise, I write it in that book. And you know what's fun? I just pull that book once in a while and just start reading the promises that I have. And that's what this is all about. you know, promises. God, are you for me? Galatians 2:20 says, yeah, the God who gave himself for me. He's for me. So, God is the great gift giver. He'll give you victory. Abide in him. Don't abide in the world and reap bad fruit, because they are the lesser gods. Realize the temptations are all about idols. Idols are things that you look to give you something, give you, you know, meet your desires or meet your hunger for whatever. And so there's all these lesser gods, and then there's the God of this universe. And guys, I would rather let the God of this universe meet my needs, because it's been really giving me the deepest satisfaction I have. All these lesser gods over here, whether it's retirement or, you know, your degree or a big bank account, all that stuff is emptiness. It will never, ever satisfy. Any billionaire I've ever heard from and talked to have said this: how much do I want? Just a little more. Just a little more. Wow, what a wasted life to be pursuing just a little more. I don't need to pursue anymore. I have it all in Jesus Christ. So as you walk the aisles of life, pay a close attention this morning. I mean, all of us need to pay close attention to the voices that we're hearing and make sure that that voice is from God, not from the world. Make sure that that voice has the best interest, has your best interest at heart, not their best interest. All the lesser gods, it's all about them. My God, it's not about him. It's about me. He loves me and he's for you. Really awesome. So stay close to Jesus. He's going to give you the daily victory. So the conclusion, there are many voices calling for our attention. They tend to divert our attention away from the good and living God. Loving God. Abiding in a close walk with Jesus keeps our spiritual vitality. God gives us death. Let's pray. Thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you have been so good to give us an idea of the pattern that we are going to see temptation and to spot it when it happens. Keep us focused on you, Lord, and not the lesser gods. Give us the gift of victory, because you are the good God. Keep us on the straight and narrow, and don't stray. Lord, help us to abide in you every hour, every day. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.